This is Behind the Black with Bob Zimmerman. Sunspot update. Remember, anecdote says that sunspots are connected in some fashion to human Earth climate. Bob, what is it telling us? Good evening.
Good evening, John. Oh, I've been saying this now for several years, but it just continues to prove this fact. I do an update every month as NOAA updates its own graph of sunspot activity, and we pretty much now appears we're in the solar maximum 2 years early, and we're also in a solar maximum that is at a intensity that was not predicted by any of the solar scientists. Some said it was going to be much higher, and most said it was going to be much lower, and instead, it came 2 years early and is in the middle, significantly lower than the high, but significantly higher than the low. And whether or not, now this maximum still might not be the case, we still might be ramping up, but all that signs now indicate that we're in the maximum, and it actually appears like it's going to be a very long maximum, double peaked, meaning they'll have two high points with a slump in the middle. That's what's happened the last two solar maximums over the last 22 years. All this tells us is, once again, the scientists really have no idea what's happening. All their predictions are nothing more than throwing darts on the wall. Their predictions were 31 to 40% wrong. Those kind of margin of errors, you really don't know what you're doing. You're just basically guessing. And so we've just evidence that they're guessing. They don't understand the fundamental processes that cause the sunspots to occur in a cycle and connected with the sun's magnetic field. They just do not understand why, how, and what. And that's the bottom line, because if you don't understand that, you can't make any predictions. And more important, the way, as you said, John, the activity on the sun seems to have a circumstantial direct impact on the Earth's climate. When the sun's more active, the Earth's climate is warmer, and vice versa. When it's less active, we're cooler. So you can't predict the future climate of the Earth unless you can really reliably predict what the sun's activity is going to be. This tells you that every climate model that's predicting we're all going to die in the next 70 years are all wrong. They're wrong because they don't know what the sun's going to do. And the sun is a significant component of this story, John.
We go from the surface of the sun to the surface of Mars. And this is chemistry. Toxic perchlorates. Perchlorates. What is that?
Perchlorates. Since the Viking missions in the 70s, scientists have thought that the Martian soil, most especially the water on Mars, is impregnated with perchlorates. And perchlorates are somewhat toxic to us. They're burns. You know, it's peroxide, essentially. Think about peroxide. You use it to clean wounds. And so it's in the water and it's on the ground. This is a problem for future settlers. So there is NASA recently issued 12 research grants on a variety of new technology ideas in astronomy and future space exploration. But one struck me as really interesting. It was a proposal for a method to remove those toxic perchlorates from the soil in Martian water, and to remove them in a way that you don't have to just filter them out. You literally chemically change them so they're not there anymore. They turn them into chlorides and oxygen. And the idea is interesting. They're going to take there's microbes on Earth that do this naturally, but they can't survive in space or on Mars. Attach the genes from those microbes onto a bacteria that does survive in space, and then use that bacteria on Mars to eliminate the perchlorates. It's a very interesting idea. If it works, it will solve a problem for future explorers. It's only in the first phase of its research grant, so we have no idea if this is going to work, but it's a really interesting idea, John. It'll solve a significant problem for future colonists on Mars.
The aging Hubble still has a punch. The aging Hubble has spotted something in an exoplanet that is strange. What happened, Bob?
It's called weather, at least alien weather. Scientists used data collected by Hubble from 2016, 2018, and 2019 of an exoplanet, a hot Jupiter that orbits a star 880 light years away. And it's a transiting exoplanet, so you get to see, you can do spectroscopy of the planet's atmosphere as it moves in front and behind the star. You can get real data on that atmosphere. And what the scientists did is they looked at the differences between those 3 years of data, to see how the atmosphere might have changed. And they literally detected changes. They then used computer model to try to fill in the gaps to provide a simulation of the temperatures of this planet over time. They did videos, I've got links to those. Now, there's a lot of uncertainties here, a lot of unknowns. The real fundamental discovery is of the changes, because it tells us that there is weather on these alien planets, which isn't really a surprise. But what, of course, it tells us is that weather is so alien that we really don't understand it in the slightest way, based on the data. But it tells us it's something to look at in the future, John, and that's really cool.
Japan, two wonderful stories about Japan. First, a space telescope, X-ray. Is that
CRISM? It's called CRISM, John. Its spelling is difficult, but it's pronounced CRISM. It's an X-ray space telescope that was launched on a Falcon 9 in September. It's now finally been deployed, and they've been doing their, you know, the initial checkout of the spacecraft, and they released their first X-ray. It's an X-ray telescope. Their first images, false color images in X-rays from this telescope, and I posted one on Behind the Black. And that one picture also, it's of a supernova remnant in the Large Magellanic Cloud. It also included spectroscopy, which told them a great deal about the elements that are found in this supernova remnant. This is a big. This is going to be a good telescope of success for Japan. Japan. The other story from Japan, John, is not so successful. Japan was planning a Mars sample return mission. It was going to bring samples back from the Mars moon Phobos. They were going to launch it in September of this year to fit the most recent Mars launch window. They've now had to delay that launch for two more years till 26. And the reason they have to delay it is because of the H-3 rocket that its space agency has been having problems getting off the ground. The H-3 did its first attempted launch in March of 23. It failed. They've now scheduled the second attempt in February of this year. But the agency decided that they want to give themselves ground to work out the kinks after that launch, and they don't want to risk this Mars mission where all those kinks are being worked out, so they've had to delay it for 2 years. It's unfortunate.
Finally, an image of, what is this, a Martian opportunity here? Are they Martian?
Yes, this is a picture I posted from Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. It's a picture of a place on Mars that's not far from where Perseverance is. And in fact, Perseverance, when it leaves Jezero Crater, will begin to move into similar territory to look at the geology. This is potential mining here. Big bucks in the future, John, for future colonists.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.